The program for the 2026 Melbourne International Film Festival was released this week, and among the gold being offered on screens across Victoria is an Australian feature documentary called Guided by Horses. The film takes us to the breathtaking scenery of the Kimberley in Western Australia, where Aboriginal researcher Professor Julie Coffin runs a groundbreaking program called Yadani Janga, which uses equine-assisted learning to help at-risk Indigenous children and teenagers. I'm delighted to say that Professor Julie Coffin joins us this morning on Sunday Extra. Welcome, Julie.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Kimberley has one of the highest rates of youth suicide in the world. Julie, can you share with us a bit about the problems that you've seen over the years faced by Indigenous young people in the Kimberley?
Some of the issues that our young people are up against are really relating back to stolen generation and lots of kind of intergenerational lack of appropriate service delivery, appropriate responses when there is crisis in community, because there's often a lack of resources, but also, you know, that lack of understanding of how business is done best in an Aboriginal context. So, yeah, a lot of our young people are kind of getting the fallout from that, and that means things like not being able to access services because of other social determinants, or not being able to get to a service that is culturally appropriate and meeting their particular needs correctly.
And watching the documentary, I was surprised by how young some of the kids are in the program. How early do you see these risks arise for these Indigenous children?
Look, risk is everywhere. It's an interesting term to say at-risk youth. Our program is for everybody. It's for any young person who needs it. And we actually cater for 6 to 26-year-old Aboriginal young people. And it's not so much coming in when there's something going wrong. It's amazing when we can get our younger community members coming in, you know, before things arise, so that there's a better way for, say, expressing, you know, how they're feeling, you know, able to regulate, also being able to communicate those things effectively when there is things that are bothering them, you know, in a way that's helpful. So it's really, it's the interesting part of the program, I think, for us. And a lot of the story that's coming out of the program tells us that the program really sits beautifully in the prevention and the intervention and the treatment spaces. So there is kind of something to offer everybody that comes in. And, you know, if we can do something to stem that pathway so that our young people are not placed into that category of at risk, then that's us, you know, really adding value to the social landscape or where we live here.
Julie, can you tell me about your own experiences with horses as a child?
Me and horses, we go way back. So I was a self-proclaimed horse nut. I probably drove everybody a little bit barmy with making them stop the car so I could run 100 metres to go and pat and check a horse in a paddock that I'd never seen before. So it was an obsession or a love that I had from my earliest memories. I spent many years on stations and riding. I rode horses at any opportunity I had for anybody. And when I owned my first horse, I was working part-time and actually studying down in Fremantle. So I used to drive for hours to just go and hang out with horses. Previous to that, yeah, I'd been mostly up on kind of station country, and people say to me, you know, can you ride? And I'd say, well, I can hang on, because I'd never really been taught to ride properly until I was a fair bit older. And, you know, then I guess it was just a real natural progression for me and my love of our young people and wanting to see young people do better, and this whole passion that I hold around horses and the value that they can bring.
And when did you realise that this form of therapy or learning could work for young people in the community?
I think I first really tuned into the healing components and all of the things that horses can offer us, really from myself and a lot of the things I'd experienced in life, you know, including quite a lot of racism and stereotype around what the expectation was for being an Aboriginal young person, that, you know, we were all young once. And those memories for me were often about things that I had to learn to deal with and cope with. And I was very, very blessed to have some amazing family. But what the horses were offering me was something else. It was this really, you know, consistent, safe kind of sanctuary that I actually wasn't getting from humans. And, you know, I started to really tune into that myself, and I thought, I think this would be something really valuable that we could offer our young people as a different or a alternative to some of the other kind of therapeutic and program delivery pieces that we see and have in our communities and that I've been part of as well for many years. I just thought, yeah, it's got to be something different we can do in the space, and maybe from, yeah, my learnings and time in that space, this is something I could help to offer others.
Okay, so equine-assisted learning is a well-established field. Can you describe it for me and tell us if you had to adjust it to work with Indigenous young people?
So equine-assisted learning, yeah, as you say, it's not new. It's been around for quite a long time. There's a few different fields within that. I went and trained with the Equine Psychotherapy Institute of Australia, who for me were and still are really leading the way in the equine-assisted psychotherapy and equine-assisted learning space. And what I saw was ways that I could just adjust some of the content and still achieve the same outcomes and have our community members where things like, you know, English could be a second or third language, where it's not always about the written work. It's really about how you work with young people, how the relationship is built and held, and how the work is recorded and documented so we can track those processes accurately. So I found some very different ways to do that, and that then brought that quite clinical Western model, which is how it had been sitting so far, you know, into that Indigenous context. And we do that in a number of different ways, but one is that we do a lot of observation and a lot of mentoring, a lot of very much hands-on mentoring for a whole week. And the program takes about 4 weeks of training, which is a little bit different to the mainstream context. And also in the context, we refer to our touch points, like that deep listening, Didiri and other, you know, methodologies that we have in an Indigenous context that we know work and make sense, you know, around that piece of connection of culture and country and holding space for our young people in that culturally safe way. So, yeah, it's different, but we still get to the same end point. We still have these amazing equine-assisted learning practitioners that have that extra cultural lens to add into the space, and that's definitely part of the success of the program, is having our own people able to lead and run this work in our own way.
And what outcomes have you seen for the young people who've engaged with this program?
There are so many outcomes that I have been privileged to witness, but, you know, I can tell you that we've had over 3,500 Aboriginal young people engage, and we started off as a 5-year research project. We've now moved into a program service delivery model. So it's been a real learning curve for us, guided by the community. And what we've seen and what outcomes we see a lot is young people going into school, staying in school, doing better in school, having better relationships, enjoying school. You know, school's not a nice place if you don't have friends, if you're not included, if you don't socialise the same way other young people do, you know, if there are other outside influences on you even getting to school, you know, like how do you cope when you get to school and things like, you know, you may not have had enough sleep, you may not have been getting your needs met in other environments, and you go into school and you take all those things with you because it's part of who you are. But how do you adjust and cope with that in those settings? And these aspects that come out of the program are really about building up all of those pieces that, you know, hold us in good relationship in life, like being able to regulate, being aware of others and how we vibrate in the world and how we affect others around us. You know, what are our boundaries? How do we keep ourselves good when times are not good? How do we come back down from feeling very, you know, maybe angry or very sad? Or, you know, how do we regulate our emotions? And how do we form good relationships? You know, how do we get better at that? And we see our young people able to move back in all of those spaces of family, community, something like school or a workplace in a better way that, you know, is going to see the best version of themselves as well, and maybe highlight those really great things that they bring to the table that, you know, maybe previously weren't really seen or noticed before. And it's a nice way to be seen through this kind of 600 kilo sentinel being that chooses you and wants to hang out with you and affirms that you're valuable, you know, and you're needed in the space. And unfortunately, we're not great at that as humans, and we don't often realise, you know, particularly in a social context, that some young people are really not thriving.
600 kilo sentinel beast. On Sunday Extra today, I'm speaking with Professor Julie Coffin about equine-assisted therapy program up in the Kimberley, Yardani Janga. Tell me, the 600 kilo sentinel beast, what is it about horses that can lead to these learnings or insights or breakthroughs or removal of blockages? Tell me.
I think it's the definitely the vibration. It's the non-spoken word. It's the no pressure, you know. A horse doesn't come up and say, how are you feeling? A horse comes up and reflects what it's picking up from how you're feeling about what's going on inside. And the magic that horses offer us is that they connect with the inside, the internal. You know, they don't judge the exterior. They don't think, oh, you know, gee, that person doesn't look like I want them to look. They don't act like I want them to look. They come into our space in such a genuine way with no judgment. You know, their offering is always pure. It's nothing contrived. They live in the moment, so they don't care what you did 10 minutes ago or what you're going to do in 10 minutes. They just meet you exactly where you're at. And look, you know, even these couple of things that I mentioned, you know, you can already start to think, well, yeah, us as humans, we don't do great in that space. We don't offer that to ourselves. And, you know, horses are trying to show us that this is this other way to reflect back, you know, who we are in the world. And sometimes it's a hard thing to see, but other times it's just an amazing thing that, you know, there's something there that really likes me, wants to be with me. It's unconditional love, and I'm so fortunate that I get to work and share the space with others.
Yeah, the documentary Guided by Horses, it's full of very kind of beautiful and moving images of the interactions between the young people and the horses. You also get to see the landscapes, and they're absolutely breathtaking. I believe you're on Yaru country. Can you paint a picture for listeners of what it's like out there?
Oh, we're on a very beautiful part of Yaru country. It's called Riddell Beach. We're on a big red, beautiful cliff and overlooking ocean as far as the eye can see, and country. On one side of us, we are right near Ganthium Point. It's about 3 kilometres from the centre of Broome. It's surrounded by bushland, including a lot of, you know, bush foods out here. We have Jigal tree, which is a type of honey. We have, gubbinj everywhere. You know, we have a lot of flora and fauna around us, plus the horses, plus the ocean. It's already just being here on country. It's the colours, it's the smells, it's the feel. You know, you step out the car and you instantly know that you're in a supportive, calming space, and then you add to that the horses. You know, I can't think of any other or better way to be able to be part of this work but being right here on this part of country.
Julie, it was a delight talking to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for having me today. It's been a pleasure to be able to share a little snippet of what we're doing up here in the Kimberley. Thank you.
Professor Julie Coffin is the founder and CEO of Yarrawarra Services and Yardani Junga, which translates from the Yaru language to helping horses. The documentary Guided by Horses will be screening across Victoria as part of the Melbourne International Film Festival. It'll also have a wider theatrical release later this year. More information can be found at guidedbyhorsesmovie.com.